The goddess is the connection between humanity and the sacred rhythms of life. She is the blood in our veins pumping, the walls of our wombs birthing, and the water in our rivers flowing. Long ago, we were aware of our interconnectedness with all of life. This wisdom has been fragmented and forgotten. On Goddess Radio, we are putting the pieces back together again. Join us as we remember the goddess, her songs and stories, wisdom and wonder, and her connection to all of us and to all of life. Welcome to Goddess Radio. I'm Carly Neufeld, and today, two very different guests on my show, but connected through the sacred feminine and the light of the world. In a few moments, we'll be talking to Llewellyn Vaughan Lee, who is the head of the Golden Sufi Center in California, and Llewellyn will be here next weekend in Santa Fe. Also with me in the studio is Pat Shapiro, and Pat is a yoga teacher and the author of Yoga for Women at Midlife and Beyond. And Pat will be, we'll be talking with Pat in just a couple of moments, but first with Llewellyn, who's standing by. Welcome to Goddess Radio, Llewellyn Vaughan Lee.
Well, it's wonderful to be present.
To be present is exactly what your work is about, right?
Yes. I mean, maybe I should say, as it's Goddess Radio, I feel very strongly that the feminine, whether the feminine principle or women themselves, hold the secret of creation, which is, in a way, the light hidden in matter. And I think it's very important to understand that if one is going to do any real spiritual work in this time of global and ecological crisis, because the feminine holds a unique understanding of the sacredness of matter and how we need to reawaken that aspect of life.
Llewellyn, when you say the feminine, do you mean the feminine principle, the receptive quality of the in our consciousness, or do you mean women?
I think both. I think I would say in particular women actually have a unique role to play, although I think that needs to be also to be honored by the feminine principle within men that can understand the power of the receptive feminine and a particular relationship to the spiritual principle of holding the light that is needed to redeem the world, this sacred light that the feminine understands, because women alone can give birth to a human being, can bring the light of a divine soul into this world.
So how now about you? Now you are, as a man, I'm in a male body, the head of the Golden Sufi Center, and I was looking through your website and seeing that in most part through generations, 20 generations, the Golden Sufi Center, the golden link has been men, and in the Muslim tradition, it is the men that hold that position. Have they all, through this particular chain of Sufi teachings, been men? And how then, with this understanding of the light, how do you teach that? That's a complicated question, but...
Yes, but a very, very important question.
Yes.
Because, as you know, in fact, I was trained by a woman who was Irina Tweedy. She died in 1999, and she, in her late 50s, traveled to India, where she met a Sufi master. And he gave her this tradition to bring to the West. And in a way, that seemed to be a very, very important statement about the role women need to play in the West, in reawakening the spiritual understanding of life. And so, although beyond her, it appears on the surface that it was men who carried the spiritual lineage.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, I was actually grown up. I met her when I was 19. And I was kind of grown up within this deep understanding of the sacred dimension of the feminine. And I think that has shaped me and given me a perspective I would never otherwise have had, which I'm very grateful.
So it sounds like it's very important for the men, and of course, the world leaders, men, most of whom in the world are men. Somehow, if men then can embody this, as you have been blessed and privileged to do and to teach, we would see a change in the world.
I think so, because it is the feminine that understands all the interconnections in life.
Right.
And what we are suffering from at the moment is is a very fragmented culture, very isolated, very insular. And as I have been shown, there's this whole oneness that is emerging into the consciousness of humanity, which needs to be midwifed into our collective consciousness, to understanding that ecologically we are one, economically we are one, and of course in the deep spiritual sense we are all one, an expression of the divine oneness that is inherent within everything.
And the feminine understands
the connections that hold that together, the Indra's web that is behind creation and present within creation.
It seems so hopeless sometimes. Here we are a few days before an election in this country. It seems so hopeless some of the time. And we've been hearing we are one since the 60s at least. So what needs to happen to catalyze the change? Any thoughts on that, Llewellyn?
Yes. I mean, I think this, as people are becoming more and more aware, we're at a time of global crisis. And one either sees the dark side of global crisis, the ecological devastation, or one knows within oneself from one's own experience that a time of real crisis has the seeds of a possibility of real transformation, that somehow only when one is pushed to the edge does one make real, important, lasting changes. And all I would say is that there is always the grace behind the scenes to help both the individual and also the whole of humanity to make this shift. And why I called this workshop Working with the Energies of the Inner World is, how do we attune ourselves to that grace, to that energy that comes from within, so that we can, in a way, work with the divine, with the power of the divine that is needed to heal and transform our world.
So by learning individually our personal attunement, our personal inner attunement to the light and the hidden worlds, we can be effective collectively. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, except I would even go as far as we can be effective individually. There is this ancient esoteric tradition of the relationship of the macrocosm and the microcosm, the individual and the whole. It's found in the Kabbalah, it's found in Sufism, it's found in alchemy, that says there is a direct connection between the individual and the whole. And I think a spiritually awakened human being who works for the sake of the whole can be a tremendous force for change. And that is what I am trying to foster in people, this connection between the individual and the whole, not through any hierarchy, not through any organization, those are patriarchal institutions, but through more an organic connection to the whole of life, because that belongs to the feminine understanding of life. And as women know, creation is a feminine business.
Creation is a feminine business. So you'll be here next Friday evening, November 10th, and all day Saturday. And we've only got a few more minutes. I can give the details of your events after we finish the conversation. Anything in these 3 minutes here, Llewellyn, how do you bring this? Just if somebody comes to Friday evening, what will they go? What will they leave with? What do you hope that they leave with?
I am trying to attune their individual spiritual nature with the spiritual nature of the whole, which is why I called my recent book Awakening the World, A Global Dimension to Spiritual Practice. There is a way to connect the individual to this whole web of light that is present within the world, that is trying to help the world change from this era of duality into an age of oneness.
And so there is this web of light.
It's very present.
It is very,
very
present.
Beautiful.
And very beautiful. In these moments, how do we connect to it now, this moment?
By being attuned to the oneness that is within every breath and within everything in creation, then life will speak to you. And because we are part of life, we are part of the one, we are part of the whole. We have just forgotten it, just as we have forgotten that the world belongs to God. And the simple act of remembrance is a realignment which awakens something within us that can reconnect us to this beautiful, beautiful web of light that is waiting to help to transform the world.
Through the meditation, through the Golden Sufi Center, you have a specific meditation, Llewellyn?
We have a simple meditation of the heart, just to go into the love within the heart, because love is the greatest power in creation, and just as it can transform you, it can transform the world. But we are needed to participate, to help to bring our light, our love, our devotion, our prayers into a world that is starving of such nourishment, of the really deep connection of the soul.
Llewellyn, thank you. This is a short interview, but I'm feeling hopeful already, just in my own mind, aware of that, the web.
Thank you so much, Carly, and I look forward to coming
to
Santa Fe.
Thank you so much, Llewellyn Vaughan Lee. Thank you. And Llewellyn will be here in Santa Fe next Friday evening, November 10th, at the Church of Religious Science on Camino de los Marques. He's giving a Saturday workshop on next Saturday, the 11th, as well. Details are at goldensufi.org. That's goldensufi, S-U-F-I.org. And I have some more phone numbers here. You can call me too, 983-5486. 983-5486. And I have some phone numbers to register and more details. So again, Llewellyn Vaughan Lee, head of the Golden Sufi Center in California in Santa Fe next weekend. And now here we are in the studio with me, as my studio guest today is Pat Shapiro. And these two topics of the light and of Pat's work as a yoga teacher, of course, are connected. Even though these two guests have never met, I always trust the connections here on Goddess Radio. So I'd like to welcome Pat Shapiro.
It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here, Pat. And you were just listening, of course, to the conversation with Llewellyn. You are the author of Yoga for Women at Midlife and Beyond. And you'll be doing an event next Saturday, a week from today, at Borders Bookstore downtown. I think it's at 2 o'clock, right?
Right.
But more on that in a moment. I feel like it would be great to have some segue here between what Llewellyn was just talking about and your work as a yoga teacher. Because I would imagine that yoga, well, not only imagine, I know through my own experience, that yoga is one of the paths that takes us into that grace inside, where we can, through breath. Right.
Well, the word yoga actually means union.
Right.
So he was talking about the oneness, and yoga does mean union. Through the mind and the body, it's the breath that is the link that helps us turn inward.
When did you first begin to practice yoga?
I first started yoga when I was 49 years old.
Oh, so this book is about you as well as... Okay, good. So...
I started doing yoga. I was going through a difficult time in my mm-hmm. life, and I was looking for something to help me cope.
Yes.
I had read self-help books. Mm-hmm. I tried some other things, but nothing seemed to work. And then I noticed that this new yoga studio was opening in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in there. I had hardly slept a wink the night before. I was very upset about these problems. And I walked in, and everything was white. The carpeting was white, the walls, the pillows.
Yes.
And I immediately started relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took the class, and everything was strange to me. I had never moved my body like this. I had never given my breath a thought. But I followed along, and pretty soon my chattering mind had calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
I lost a sense of time. And when I walked out, I was in a very different place. I knew the problems were still there, but they seemed more distant. And somehow I felt that I could handle them better. And I didn't know what I had exactly understand what I had experienced, but I knew that I loved it. And I knew that I wanted it to be a part of my life.
Had you been on a spiritual path of exploration before that time?
No, I hadn't. My background's in psychology, so I had gone more the psychological route before. Mm. But this was the beginning for me.
And so, hence now, writing a book for women like yourself, coming to a yoga practice and a spiritual practice in midlife.
Mm-hmm.
And you're now a teacher.
What
form of yoga do you teach? There's many different kinds.
There are many different kinds. I follow in the tradition of TKV Deskachar.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a name as such, but I would call it more of a gentle meditative yoga.
Mm-hmm.
The things that I like about this particular tradition is that it's a very adaptable. And especially as we get older, we need to adapt the poses because people have a lot of different issues when they get older, injuries, you know, medical problems, sometimes people put on weight. And so that this is a very adaptable. And there's also a very strong emphasis on the breath. So we work with the breath in class, integrating breath and movement, and that helps, of course, quiet the mind.
One of the things I like about your book is that this, you're really looking at a home practice here. You're a yoga teacher, so of course people could come to your classes. Mm-hmm. But the book is also designed for how you bring yoga into the home and begin a practice in your home.
Right. Well, I wrote this book because many people go to class once a week or twice a week,
right,
and they want to practice more, but they don't know where to begin. And so that's why I wrote this book. And there are 10 different practices in the book, and there's one for energizing, one for relaxing, so that you have a choice. And then I also deal with a lot of the practical questions, because you have to figure out where you're going to practice, when, how long. You have to deal with other housemates and husbands. How are you going to deal with interruptions? Things like that.
Well, like me, a house full of teenagers.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought this morning, you know, I do not give myself long enough for my yoga practice in the morning, and I was literally racing out the door, and I gave myself 5 minutes, which is not long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it? That's a question I had. I thought, oh, I'm glad I'm going to interview Pat today. Can I get away with 5 minutes? Please say yes.
Well, the important thing in establishing a home practice is to practice regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you don't have 30 or 40 minutes.
Right.
So I actually, there's a 10-minute practice in the book, and I advocate doing that so you keep your rhythm up, you know, so that you keep the momentum going. So it's better to do a short practice than not to do any practice.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And I think it was longer than 5 minutes. But, you know, that it seems to me, too, that short practice is a sort of ritual. For me, it becomes a ritual, even if it's very short.
Mm-hmm. But if you're used to doing yoga at a certain time and you don't have time, just doing something keeps that ritual, as you say, or that habit going. And then you're more likely to go back to it. Sometimes what happens is if you skip a day or 2 days, it's harder to go back. That's why I say even a smaller practice, shorter practice, is better than no practice.
Where, for anybody listening who, you know, everybody has heard of yoga, and sometimes it's that breakthrough moment of deciding to decide that you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get there? Somebody listening who has maybe never, who's been thinking about it for a couple of years and just hasn't quite got there.
Well, you have to take that very first step and do it and come to the class.
Where do you teach your classes?
Okay, I teach here at the community college in the continuing ed department, and I also teach at the Vedic Chant Center on San Mateo.
Mm-hmm.
And my classes are all geared to women over 50. And my students tell me they really like that because there's just, everybody's kind of in the same boat.
Right.
You know, and they feel completely accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you're in a class with a lot of younger people, sometimes you don't feel so good about your body and how you're doing things. But when everybody's over 50, there's just that complete acceptance.
That sounds good. Is everybody at a different, I mean, I have friends over 50 who are very, very fit and have been doing a yoga practice or Pilates or other body practice for many years, dancers perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
In your classes, can a beginner be in the same class as an advanced student?
Well, the kind of yoga I do is not like an aerobic workout. So if you're looking for that kind of yoga, you wouldn't come to one of my classes.
Right, so somebody, right.
People come more for centering and more the meditative effects and the stretching, and it's strengthening and stretching.
Strengthening and stretching. Mm-hmm. Stretching is so important as we age.
Oh, it is. It really is.
Is there any one yoga pose that no matter how long you have in for your practice, you always recommend?
That's a tough question. I think any yoga pose where you can just stay present, stay centered, and work with your breath will be helpful.
Let's speak about the breath.
Okay.
As we did with Llewellyn earlier in the show, the breath is the connection.
It is.
To one another and to the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, in yoga, I mentioned earlier that the breath is the link between the mind and the body. And our breath gives us a clue of what's going on in our mind. You know, when you're very upset about something, your breath is short and kind of staccato. And when you calm down, when your mind is calm, your breath deepens and lengthens. And that's what we work toward in yoga, that calming, deepening breath.
How does this help you, Pat, or anyone practicing yoga, more than, just like occasionally? How does this help you with everyday life, with the problems of family, driving around Santa Fe, all the things that we deal with on a daily basis that can just stress us out? How do you bring that to your life?
The thing I've noticed since I've been doing yoga is that I see situations with more clarity. I have a different perspective, more of a somewhat distant perspective. I'm not as reactive as I used mm-hmm. to be, so that I'm able to step back a little bit and look at the issues. And that's the major thing, I think, that I've gotten from yoga.
The major thing you've gotten. And how long have you been doing it now?
It's been about 13 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Pat Shapiro. She's the author of Yoga for Women and at Midlife and Beyond. And it's a home companion, and I love this book. It is actually Ara Santa Fe Aspens with
Aspen
Pat
Vista.
Aspen
mm-hmm.
Vista, I thought so. Recognize mm-hmm. the exact spot where Pat is doing. What is that pose on the cover there?
That's tree pose, where you stand on one foot.
Of course it's the tree yeah. pose. I should have known that. The tree pose with the aspens. Mm-hmm. So, and Pat will be next Saturday afternoon. She will be giving a book signing over at Borders Bookstore downtown in Montezuma at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Pat's a lovely, gentle woman to meet, so I hope you get a chance to come to her book signing. Also very readable, easy to open. What I like about books like this is you can actually put it down and you can sort of see the poses. It's not just a tiny book. It's mm-hmm. lovely spread. So, Pat, a few minutes here. We have about 5 minutes. What else do we need to know about yoga for midlife and beyond? For women especially.
Well, one of the things I think that's so important about women at midlife having their own type of practice mm-hmm. is that their needs are different. You know, you hear so much today that yoga's for everybody and for mm-hmm. everybody. Mm-hmm. But pregnant women have their own special needs. Women at midlife have their own special needs. And when you're younger, you're more interested in perfecting the poses and having the right form. As you get older, you want to preserve and maintain what you have. Mm-hmm. And that's what this book is aiming to do. And the nice thing about this book is that everybody involved in this book was a woman over 50.
Oh, really?
Yes,
really?
The photographer, Thea Witt, the mm-hmm. illustrator, Jay Oliver, and mm-hmm. all the models are also over 50.
That's right. So you have some lovely photographs mm-hmm. in here, too. Somebody I know. Yes. Pat, of course, is a local Santa Fe. Have you lived here many years?
5 years.
5 years?
That's all.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay. Okay. I don't know why I thought you'd been here longer.
No.
Here we go. And as I say, yoga for women at midlife and beyond. So for someone like myself, who I do a little here and a little there, sustaining the practice, finding a place in one's home, maybe mm-hmm, mm-hmm. a special part of your house. How does this work for you?
Well, what I do is, my husband's an early riser, mm-hmm. so he gets up early, leaves the bedroom, mm-hmm. and then I have the bedroom to myself. And I do my yoga practice first thing in the morning. I get washed, roll out my mat, mm-hmm. and I don't even say hello until I've done my practice. Mm-hmm. And everybody, it works differently for other people. You know, some people prefer to meet their husband or their housemate first, you know, and then practice. But mm-hmm. the morning seems to be the best time.
Well, it is for me, too. Yeah. I like to have, for me on my work days, to have that time for myself before my children wake up, before mm-hmm. I have to get into gear to get out of the door. Mm-hmm. And it's very much to go from a sort of dreaming, half sleeping state. I mean, this morning's 5 minutes was actually an exception, I have to say. I do usually do a little longer.
Yeah.
But I'm not currently in a class. Do you recommend a good combination of both, being in a class and being at
home? I do, yeah. Because a class is stimulating and you have that
right.
group energy. And
right.
that can reinforce your home practice.
Of course it can. And you're learning new poses and you're learning to... Well, you said earlier about, you know, maybe a younger person may want to perfect their pose.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it, a perfect pose?
Well, I think it depends on your age. Mm-hmm. You know, it is important to a lot of younger people. Mm-hmm. As we get older, it's less important. It's what's more important is the function of the pose and what it does for us.
So there is still a good alignment of the body and...
Sure, but there are also a lot of variations that you know, if you have a lower back problem, you can still do certain postures, but you do variations on them.
And in fact, yoga is fabulous for lower back
it
problems.
It is. Mm-hmm.
If somebody already has a problem, they should take it very easy, right?
Yes, they should.
Mm-hmm. It can really help. I know
it can definitely strengthen the lower back.
Well, because it's also strengthening the abdominal muscles as well. It's all connected.
Yeah.
So, Pat, anything else for next Saturday? Are you going to give a talk as well? You're just going to be there over at Borders?
I'm going to talk a little bit. It's going to be more of a discussion about the joys and perils of midlife. And then I'm going to talk about how yoga can help support you. And we're going to do a little bit of a 5-minute practice for everybody who comes.
Oh, so if you're coming, wear something comfortable.
Well, it'll just be in chairs. We'll be in the chairs. We're doing yoga in chairs.
Yoga in chairs?
Yes.
Okay, we should. Okay, in the 30 seconds we have, can we do one quick practice, one quick breath in a chair? We're sitting in chairs right here. Anything
else? Okay, sure. Open up your right arm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. As you inhale, and then as you exhale, bring that right hand to your left shoulder and look over your left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back to center, opening your arm again, and lower your right arm to your knee.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do the same thing on the left side.
Left side.
Turning your head to the right, and coming back, dropping your hand. This is something you can do at your desk if you work at a computer.
Do you take your yoga practice into the nursing homes and so forth?
I'm not doing that right now. I have done it in the past.
Sounds like a good thing. Mm-hmm. As you can hear at the end of the show.
Thank you so much.
Pat, thank you so much for being with me here on Goddess Radio. My guest in the studio today, Pat Shapiro, author of Yoga for Women at Midlife and Beyond. She'll be at Borders Bookstore downtown Montezuma next Saturday at 2 o'clock. Earlier on in Goddess Radio, I was speaking with Llewellyn Vaughan Lee, the head of the Golden Sufi Center in California. He will be here next Friday evening, November 10th. 7 o'clock at the Church of Religious Science on Camino de los Marques, and you can reach him at goldensufi.org. Thank you, Pat, for being here.
Thank you, Carly.
Thank you. And I'm Carly Neufeld, and this has been Goddess Radio. Till next week, take care.